Shall we pray? Our blessed eternal Father, we approach the throne of grace this morning with thanksgiving and appreciation in our hearts. Looking back to this just concluded week and counting our blessings, we say we bless you. We honor and adore you for your faithfulness once again to every one of us. Thank you for taking us through the week successfully. Lord, protecting and guiding us, supplying our needs, and ordering our steps, and showing us your favor and mercy. We are grateful. Lord, we have come to your house this morning as your children. Lord, as mortal people who needs the help of the mortal God, we pray, dear Lord, that you will address all our needs today. Heavenly Father, seeing that you are giving us another opportunity to come before you, before the word of life, the word that has the power to transform our lives, to make us true images of Christ, Master Savior. That's all we desire from you. One thing that is needful, Lord, is to be united with you, Eternal Father. And when this is done, we know all other things you take care of. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things shall be added. We know you have promised to bless us, you have promised to supply our needs. Lord, we know in your promises, in your word, you have made promises to heal our sicknesses. Lord, to fill us with your spirit. And this is where we have expectation. Lord, and we present our expectation before you this morning. The great God that is more than able to meet our needs. Lord, we approach you as through that blood that has made access, given us access before you. That, Lord, you will be gracious to every one of us today by touching each person according to their needs and according to their desires. Grant it, everlasting Father. Let each of us, Lord, benefit from the services of today, Lord, by giving us revelation of your word and thereby faith rising in our heart to touch the supernatural God. So that, Lord, we know when you are touched, there will be a response from you. This is what we want to witness today, Father, as we have come to your house. And we have come the way we are. May we go back better than we came. For no man can be in your presence and never remain the same. Thank you, Eternal Father. Bless your people everywhere. The entire service of the day will come into you, that you will take preeminence. Thank you, Father. Forgive our sins. We are the devil. Lord, our enemy, the accuser of the brethren, will be standing to accuse us. May your blood speak for us, Lord. Thank you, everlasting Father. At the end of the entire services, let us have every cause to glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord, opening our Bible to Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, our usual Bible reading, and then we'll read Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 16, chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. And he has in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. You can please be seated. By the grace of God, we continue with the background to the revelation of the seven seals as we ended our preaching on the part last Sunday. Praise be to God. And the Laodicean Church Age Messenger is the one we are presently considering, and we have few more things to say about him before we really face the major sermon. The essence of that we have to look at the messenger to this age is because he is the last of all of them. And it is through him that we have come to understand all of the messengers that have gone. So as we said last Sunday, so we continue from first of all, the revelation of the seven, the exposition of the seven churches, Laodicean church age. First of all, that messenger is going to be a prophet. He will have the office of a prophet. He will have the prophetic ministry. As we have referred to before, the scriptures that confirm that this messenger is going to be a prophet, a dispensational prophet, not a minor prophet. It is important to have this understanding of the difference between the dispensational messenger and the dispensational prophet and the minor prophet. Majority of us know it, but many don't. And so we feel it is necessary that we talk about it, emphasize it. Because we don't have equal grace. We don't have equal understanding. We don't understand things on the same level. If a sermon is preached today, somebody can catch the revelation of what is being said. Somebody may not catch it. It is God that is dealing with us as he is placed. You cannot say, because I know it, I understand it, and you use your own to judge another person. Because you are not the one that is walking, that is giving revelation to people. It is God that is doing it. And God, who knows his people, puts the burden of the word in the hearts of the preacher. A preacher does not find pleasure in repeating himself. But when there is a burden to do it, it is the preacher that knows what is on him. And God does not do it for a showman. And it's not because the preacher does not know what to say. It is because God has a target in the congregation. It might be because of one single person that God will keep
you know, going round and around and around for the purpose of that very single person. Jesus Christ did that in his time. After his resurrection, he appeared to the other 10, because Judas Iscariot was no longer there. They remained 11. They were there, but Thomas was not there. And Thomas must also have direct witness of Jesus' resurrection. Physically, he must see him. Because if that was not important, Jesus wouldn't have come back. And the coming back of Jesus the second time was purposely for Thomas. So God, who builds each person, even when Thomas was told by the other 12, he did not believe them. Are you with me? He didn't believe them. He told them that I had to see him by myself. I don't want second-handed rope. I want to have personal experience. I want to see him. Maybe we follow him together. He was crucified before all of us. We saw him. We knew he was buried. You are now telling me that he's resurrected. I've not seen him. You are the one that saw him. Until I've seen him and put my hand on his side where he was pierced, I'm not going to believe. And he must believe. Because he must be one of the witnesses. Jesus Christ was not there when Thomas was saying that. Jesus was not physically there. You must understand what I'm saying. Jesus Christ was not physically there. But he was there with them. How? If he didn't hear Thomas, how did he come back to come and tell him and say that you should believe? Now, see my hand where I was pierced. Look at my side. Put your hand there and don't be an unbeliever. When we are in the congregation as God's children, let us be simple at it. If you have understood something and the preacher is repeating it, don't feel that, well, man, this man, leave that area and go to the other side. That's you. That's you. There's somebody else that God is dealing with that you don't know. Because it is God that is doing the work. Praise be to God. I need to drop that. Because when the preacher is preparing and something keeps moving him towards certain thing, and you know, if he doesn't do that, he will be in a problem in order to satisfy the congregation and feel that way. I've been saying this to satisfy the congregation, and he leaves that. He's going to be in trouble. You wouldn't know nothing about that because we deal with him. And the prophet told us in the first night, what's a gift? It's the man surrendering himself. It's not based on what the man has prepared as a sermon note. I think the preachers, they know what I'm talking about. Until you are a preacher, you don't know it. Just like until you are a woman, you don't know what pregnancy does to a woman. Do you understand? A man can sympathize with his wife, but he does not know the pain the wife goes through when during childbirth. You can see the wife groaning. He's screaming, oh God. And the man might be very, very, by that time, might be bad. Crying to God, oh God, spare my wife, let her bring forth safely. That's the only thing he can feel. But the pain of the woman, he doesn't know it. Praise be to God. He will have the office of a prophet. He will have the prophetic ministry. Prophetic ministry is a ministry that hears directly from God. A minor prophet also has a prophetic ministry. A major prophet also has a prophetic ministry. They are prophetic offices. But the office of a major prophet is higher, in the sense that the word of God that is God is sending to that age for their redemption is given to that one major messenger. And that's why it's a star messenger. That's why it's a dispensational messenger. That's why it's a major messenger. that God deals with as regard his word. And when God deals with him, he brings the word down to the people. The way God has given it to him, like Moses did, he gives it to the people. And then, the elect receive. The elect of God receive it by revelation, not by intellectual understanding. And those who will receive by intellectual understanding, it will not pull a hair from them. It won't pull a hair. They will remain in their nature. They will not have rapturing faith if it is intellectually understood. It has to be by revelation. And it is faith. And that works in them, brings the word to have effect upon the people. Praise be to God. It will be based solidly. It will have a prophetic ministry. It will be based solidly on the word, because when he prophesies or has a vision, it will always be word-oriented. And it will always come to pass. We thank the Lord. We have seen that in the ministry of William Branham. He had a vision. It came to pass. In the visions, thousands of them that he had, none has failed. And thus said the Lord, none has failed. If one of them has failed, I won't be here. You will not be here. Because we will have a doubt in our mind. But because of the accuracy, the perfectness of the revelation given to him, dovetailing with the scripture and coming to pass, people might have misunderstanding of certain things is because of lack of revelation. And I want to drop you this morning. If I, as a person, if I have an issue with the teaching of the prophet, it's because it's not been revealed to me. And that is the way you can settle it. If you have an issue with the teaching of the prophet, you seem that you feel that he says this here and this is there. It's because you have not caught the revelation of it. When that revelation strikes you, you will see exactly what he's talking about. And that's when your doubt will be dissolved. Amen. And it will always come to pass, he will be vindicated as a prophet because of his accuracy. The proof that he is a prophet is found in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. The proof that he is a prophet is found in Revelation chapter 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel or messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to servants the prophet. To get mystery from God, things that are hidden, written in the Bible that are hidden, to get the revelation of it, the interpretation of what those things mean, it takes a prophetic office and in a major office also. Not just not a minor prophet. A minor prophet cannot go into those things. He can see revelation. He can see vision of things that have happened, of things that are yet to happen, of things that are happening. He can have dreams, and he has the ability to interpret dreams. He will have thus said the Lord. He will interpret symbolic dreams. He's a prophet. Prophetic office. But is limited to that realm. He can't go into the scripture. He can't go into the mystery and begin to tell all this Bible, this is what it means. The moment he begins to do that, he has gone beyond his level. A true bride will no longer follow him at that point, because we already have a voice. And if he's a true prophet, he's going to take from what the major messenger has said and present it to the people. And the visions and the revelations, and thus said the law, that he's going to have will dovetail with what the major messenger has already said. And there is nothing the major messenger is going to say that is going to be contrary to the scripture. Not one. Because that's what he's saying there. And that's the proof. That's what made us to know that we are following a messenger today. That's why we know we are not following Pastor Kumuyi. That's why we know we are not following Pastor Adeboye. That's why we know we are following Bishop Oyedepo. That's why we know we are not following Bishop Waleoke. We are not following Archbishop this, Archbishop that. All of them. What pull us out from their midst, what we were in their midst before.
What pulled us out from their midst is the fact that we have seen the accuracy, the ministry of this man lining with the scripture, his teachings, not just his visions, not just his revelations, but the thing that he has taught in the Bible. They are the things that attracted us, the rainbow trout. If you remember that, how the prophet was taught how to fish, and his target was rainbow trout, not the little fishes that were trying to, but he had to attract first pool, second pool, and the third pool. The third pool was for the bride, the opening of the world, and many other things. To catch the rainbow trout. The rainbow trout is the bride, and it is the word. The first was sign, wonders, and the rest of it. The second was prophecy. Then the third is the revelation of the word. And when the word was revealed, it's only rainbow trout that followed him. All others that have been following the first book and second book, they pull back. Because he is at the end time, according to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, to restore the heart of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. And that's what he's sent to do. And that is what the mystery that is to reveal. The mysteries are to do that. Hallelujah. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as I declared to his servants the prophet. God already foretold this before now. Is they are written in the Bible, and that is why he refers to many scriptures, you know, concerning this. Amen. Now, this person, that is the Laodicean church messenger, who in this verse is called an angel, in the King James Version, is not a heavenly being. It's not a heavenly being. From chapter 1 of it, you will see a mighty angel. It's not the same angel that is being referred to. Because the promise, verse 7 started, but in the days of the verse of the seventh angel. Who is not a heavenly angel, deceased. Sorry. Yeah, I'm correct. In the King James Version, he is not a heavenly being. Deceased trumpeting angel, who is a heavenly being, is in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. If you are a reader of the Bible, especially the book of Revelation, you will see this order truly. The false angel trumpet, blew the trumpet. This one blew the trumpet. So many things that happened under that trumpet until the sixth. But God, who does not arrange the Bible chronologically, this Bible is not arranged chronologically. Well, the Bible started from Genesis, and then you see Malachi. Is that not? Well, that happens to be in that point, in that condition. But within Genesis, and in between Genesis and Malachi, the arrangement of those scriptures is not chronological. You cannot see the way Genesis, this and this and this and this, and then when you get to Esther, you get to Judges, you get to this, that they follow like that. No. There are events, and the way by God put prophecies in the Bible, he just scattered them all around the scripture. Amen. To make it impossible for the theologians and those who are not east to catch it. It will now take the messenger to that very age, anointed with the spirit of the revelation for that age, that will be led to those scriptures from here, from here, from here, and will form a hole for him. It will form a hole for him. Not making it up by himself. It will form a hole for him. Because William Errol Brown actually identified his ministry. He knew what he was here to come and do. And I want to tell you that if you listen to the sermon, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Jesus Christ. Is that the title? The Invisible Union? Yeah, of the Bride of Jesus Christ. That's correct. I was thinking of the future home of the Heavenly Bride and the Bridegroom. Yeah. The Invisible Union of the Bride of Jesus Christ. It was a Thanksgiving sermon.
our newfound faith, Abraham said, is a thanksgiving. In other words, the very purpose why Abraham was there had been accomplished. The word that he was sent to bring has produced the bride. That's why they call it the invisible union of the bride of Jesus Christ. And the union is an invisible thing. You don't see, it's not written on your face. When you are by the Spirit of God, united with Christ, it's not written on your face. It's not written on your palm. It's not written on your clothes. Like this, our student that gets signed out from the University of Polytechnic. And they come and begin to write something on the back. No, it's not written on you.
But it's written in your character. Your character reflects it. Your behavior reflects it. Anyone who interacts with you, see that there's something special about this person. They see that something is special about this person. Because you are united with God by His Spirit, then you reflect His characteristics. Hallelujah. The sixth trumpeting angel, who is a heavenly being, is in Revelation chapter 9. I'm not reading it because I don't want to take time on that. If I read it, I'll be tempted, to say some other thing, but I want to restrain myself to this. And the seventh of like order is in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Read your Bible too. Read your Bible too. We are Bible students of Malachi 4 message. Amen. Because ordinarily, if you have read this part on your own, you will follow up the scripture that the prophet refers to. And you will have gone to read the Bible and see that truly, okay. But because that's not what we are dealing with here, so we are leaving it. This one here in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 is the seventh age messenger. Laodicean church age messenger. Remember, he is the one that is identifying the messenger. Are you getting me now? Just like he identified Bra Paul, the second messenger, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. He's also identifying the seventh. That is the need. Who is going to identify the seventh? The seventh. We identify the seventh because he is the one that is given to do the identification of all of them. Though he will not say, I am the one, but he will show us the scriptures that he will fulfill. He will show us the nature of the man. He will show us what the man will do, what the scripture says he will do. He will not tell you, I hope you understand. And then the wise will lay that to their heart. This one in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 is the seventh angel messenger, and he's a man. And he is to bring a message from God, and his message and ministry is going to finish the mystery of God as declared to his servants. The prophets. God is going to treat this last messenger as a prophet. You see, we Gentiles don't know who a prophet is. A prophet is a man that hears God's voice. Anytime God wanted to do anything, is the one that is near. No, most times, Abraham will say that way. I am not a special person. I happen to be the one near when God was to do it. He said, I happen to be the one that is closer. Now, he is just being simple. Are you getting me now? That one that is nearer or closer, God determines it. God determines it. Because if a man is not a prophet, God cannot come to him like the way he comes to William Branham to just tell him things. If you study the sermon, the spoken word is the original seed. If you study it, if you read it from the beginning to the end, or you listen to the tape, you will see where Branham was preaching. And then he will tell you that if you see the visions that are passing before me, the things that he was preaching, he was seeing them in form of vision. You can imagine somebody is preaching and he's seeing them. They were said things that are passing before him. Passing before him. The spoken word is the original seed. That sermon is a conquering. Several, I think the entire sermon morning evening was about 6 hours.
He downloaded a lot of things there.
Praise be to God.
I will happen to be the one that is nearer. God will treat him as a prophet, not as an ordinary man. He's a prophet. God will reveal to him things that he needed to know, because it is God fulfilling his promise word for the end time. God has no two persons in mind. Like I said last Sunday, he's the only mouthpiece of God. If anybody wants to go in the rapture in this Laodicean church age, he has to listen to William Abraham, understand his doctrine, get revelation of his doctrine by divine hand of God to whatever level God has determined for individual. The level of revelation that we get may not be the same level you will get. Yes. By virtue of me being able to read and write, somebody who is not able to read and write, the level of revelation God will give to them is determined by God. What they need to understand is determined by God. So, but everybody must come to that. God does that, and once God is satisfied that is done, he sees the person in the kingdom. So it is only the message of William Abraham that can bring conversion of souls to sons and daughters of God. And that is why he is also the angel in Revelation chapter 18. Come out from among them, my people. That angel that said Babylon is falling, Babylon is falling, is the same person telling us about the wickedness of the denomination. According to Laodicean chapter, Laodicean church age, the characteristics of Laodicean church age is also reflected in Revelation chapter 18 from verse 4. Praise be to God. We still have 5 minutes. God help us. All right. God will treat him as a prophet because he is a prophet. It's not human being. Did he make him a prophet? He did not go to the school of the prophets like some people. I want to be direct. Like some people in Mountain of Fire. Mountain of Fire and Miracle Abbey. In Mountain of Fire, they teach people, they have school of prophets where women also go. They come out to tell the other that I'm a prophet now. I have gone to the school of prophets. I said, okay, prophesy for me now. I said, I prophesy over your life. God will bless you. I said, it's written in the Bible. It's already written. God said, he will bless me. It's already written. And I know God will bless me. Things that I don't know is what you as a prophet should tell me. You can't do it. You will curse yourself. They're just deceiving them. I was talking to my wife just yesterday evening. I said, When we came out of the denomination, and when you are separated from the denomination, you came fully to the message, and you are hearing things. So one day when we were together, and I told her, I said, denomination is very deceptive. Very deceptive. They place you on first pedestrian. They call you who you are not, and they make you to see yourself to be what you are not. They make you to see that you have arrived when you have not begun the journey. I'm telling you. Look, a man that the general overseer in the denomination, he God opens his eyes and he sees this truth. If he does not handle well, the church might boot him out, because if he begins to preach it and they don't see it. And if he's preaching it, those who don't agree with him will leave the church. He will, if he gets the true revelation, he will leave his church and come and stay in the message of the hour. Because what is going to be most important for him, to him, will be salvation of his soul. Not the position that he holds. Are you getting me now? Look, denomination is of the devil. We that came out of it, we can say with every corner of our mouth, with all our strength, with all our ability. Oh, merciful God. I was a preacher there, I was an elder. Listen closely. Before this time, before he rings the bell. I was a preacher, I was an elder. When my eyes come open to the message, I was leading a fellowship. When my eyes come open, I vacated the place. I came back to message of the hour. I became a nobody. Suspended preaching and the rest of it.
This is my pastor. You are all here. Many of you, you are here.
I was a preacher. They were even considering maybe an associate assistant pastor to somebody else for a church to be open. It was when I preached that the pastor told me that, and this is what they are going to say, I'm not interested. What I have seen, it can't be taken from me. When we see the revelation of the, that's why it's only by revelation. When you are coming to the message and you are still packing the things of the world with you, oh, teen, in Revelation, Malachi 4. What Malachi 4 is to do is to separate you from the things of the world. So that God can have access to you. As long as you are still packing the things of the world, you still belong to the devil. You still belong to the devil. And God cannot share you with the devil. You got to completely separate yourself and hand over yourself to God. And then God will now say, okay, have you come? And when you now come, then he begins to deal with you. Come out from among them, my people, that you not partake of their plague.
And then you shall be sons and daughters unto me. God bless you. Let's bow our heads.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for sparing our lives to witness the beginning of another week. Lord, we thank you for the week that has just passed. Your fatherly cares upon us throughout the week. The tape service, the Wednesday service, and the Lord, the family altar, personal study. And both students, workers, businessmen and women, those who traveled, those who did it. Father, we just want to thank you for your fatherly cares. We are very grateful today to know, O God, that we have a Father that cares. Lord Jesus, that is the assurance that we have. That is the confidence that we have. Though we know presently the enemy is the one that is controlling this earth, it does not bother us because we know, O God, that you that has put us here, you are greater and mightier than all. And you have promised you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the message that you have sent to us. When it came, there were so many rivals that came up with one thing or the other, but none of those rivals could produce what this man was producing. That shut them out of every man that was claiming one thing or the other. We thank you for revealing the messenger to us at the message. Thank you for the storehouse. Thank you for your servants that you have anointed, O God, not to do nothing, but to prayerfully go into the storehouse and bring out what the messenger has stored in there, because therein lays the rapturous faith. A portion of it has gone forth again this morning. We pray, Father, you are the giver of revelation. It cannot come from elsewhere else. You know each and every one of us. You know the level that your grace has dealt with us. We are praying and asking that while you are walking upon your people, don't pass any of us by. May you bring us closer to yourself. Take us to higher ground. As many as are looking unto thee for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are the baptizer, may you fill them, Lord. Those already filled, may you refill them, Lord. The sick and the afflicted, Lord, for that purpose, you were wounded for transgressions, bruised for iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by your stripes, we were healed. May we never stop confessing that until we see the answer vindicated and manifested in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant that you have used replenishing for the virtue that has left him, while we are in expectation for the other remaining services. Thank you, our Father. We love you because you first of all loved us. May your name be praised, Father. In Jesus' most gracious name, we have prayed with all faith and thanksgiving. Amen.